Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our pastor, Reverend David Riley, and is titled, Celebrate the Father's Love. It's based on the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 15. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning and welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church here in Westfield, Massachusetts. We ask for God's blessing upon our time together as we gather around His inspired Word and blessed sacraments. I'd like to remind you also that we ask for God's blessings upon those who will be watching this divine worship service on our YouTube channel. Okay, now I invite you to stand as we begin our divine service this morning by singing our opening hymn, number 915, Today Your Mercy Calls Us. Remembering our baptism, we begin this day as we do each day, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known to all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
God.
The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespassing against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
I invite you to stand as we sing the Lenten verse and then hear the words of this morning's Holy Gospel text. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable, and he said, There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But after this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. May the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever noticed how children can be so far from joyful over a sibling's good fortune? Instead of celebrating at a birthday party, jealousy, rivalry, and pettiness can set in. Nor are children the only ones who demonstrate such bad behavior. Sometimes the saddest thing at a funeral is not the death of the loved one, particularly when that loved one was a Christian in the faith, but the bickering that occurs over the estate. Hard feelings can last for years. They can tear families apart. Nor is this only an occurrence within families. Instead of celebrating God's boundless love for all people in our Savior Jesus Christ, we in the church can also demonstrate bitterness, jealousy, anger, or self-righteousness, indignation toward others. Our priorities can become misplaced, concerned more for worldly things. In our gospel text for today, God calls each of us to live differently. He calls us to celebrate the love and the mercy that He extends to all of us lost sinners. He calls us to set as our first priority the eternal salvation of those who are still lost. We all have reason to find joy in the God of our salvation, and to praise God for the saving power that lies in the message of Christ crucified. The gospel writer Luke tells us the public sinners were listening to Jesus' teaching and they were repenting. Included in this group of deplorable sinners were tax collectors. They were considered to be outcasts of society because they were corrupt and they became wealthy by cheating the common people. Eating with such notorious sinners implied welcome and recognition. Pharisees and scribes, who were secret impenitent sinners, wallowing in their dissatisfaction and their bitter jealousy, were beginning to grumble at Jesus. "This man continues to receive and keeps on eating with those sinners. How horrible is this?" This parable shared by Jesus reveals the younger son's longing for a life of sin. His request for his share of the inheritance shows his dissatisfaction with his freedom at home. He wants to get away. He wants to live his life in the way that he wanted to live. Note the father divided the estate or the property and gave shares not only to the younger, but also to the older son as well. He granted his son's demand, even though it was not customary to receive it before the father died. Now we hear that the young man loses his freedom and finds slavery and misery instead. It's the same old story that has occurred countless times before. The younger son turns everything he had received into cold, hard cash, and he lives wildly. And the money runs out quickly, and then troubles come. He becomes desperate, and he agrees to become a pig farmer. Beating pigs was strictly forbidden to the Jews, and here it shows just how low this young man had sunk in order to survive. He is so hungry that he would be very, very happy to eat what those pigs are eating. We see a man who has reached the lowest level of life, short of complete despair. This young man is without any friends. No one cares about him. This is an accurate picture of the sinner who has forsaken God and who therefore thinks he is forsaken by God and thinks he is forsaken by other people. And then we see the young man's repentance. He has had more than enough of this. He comes to his senses. He says, you know, I am starving to death here. And he also comes to the realization that he is spiritually sick unto death. All of his efforts to have a happy, exciting life without God has now led him to the edge of despair. The wages of sin is death. He realizes that without God, he is nothing. The Holy Spirit has done his job. The words of the Son are a beautiful, emotional confession of sincere repentance. He makes no excuses. His deep sorrow, he simply says by these words, I have sinned. This sin has been committed first of all against his heavenly Father. And he has also sinned against his earthly Father by bringing disgrace and heartache to him. He confessed that he could not even consider himself to be a son any longer. He throws himself completely upon the mercy of his Father, demonstrating faith in his forgiving love. And then we see the loving reception that this wayward son receives. Note how the father takes the initiative. When the returning son was still far away, his father saw him and he ran to meet him. The father held no grudges. He was not going to make the son pay for all of the heartache and grief that he had committed. He simply forgave him out of his heart, out of very deep and profound compassion. He even gave his son a kiss of welcome before his son spoke any words at all. The father interrupted his son's speech. His actions were a result of his mercy and goodness, because of the father's great compassion. The son gained much more than he ever had lost. He gave everything to a son who deserved absolutely nothing. Our minds tell us that this is totally unfair. Yet God is God. He does not deal with any of us according to our iniquities. His act of absolution is far beyond anything that you and I could ever hope for. He robes us in the perfect righteousness of his Son. He gives us the ring of true sonship. He prepares a feast of rejoicing for our benefit. Note the attitude of the older, the heartless brother, compared with the love of the father. Upon hearing the sound of music and of dancing, he became very angry with the result that he refused to absolutely go in. Even though this older son had everything available to him, he speaks of himself as being a mistreated slave, a man of self-righteousness, perfect obedience, a man who was not getting what was coming to him, a man who is extremely jealous of that person who has received mercy. It is a remarkable picture of the secret, impenitent sinner, dissatisfied and jealous, who grumbles at the Lord, just like the Pharisees and the scribes. God in Christ seriously and earnestly desires the salvation of everyone. He has done everything, and he says to us, "Come, for all things are now ready." We would have expected the father to be angry, furious with his elder son, but he is not. He divided his property with both of his sons. Furthermore, although the older son was angry, jealous, and very disrespectful, the father still says, "You are always with me, and everything I have is yours." The heart of the elder son, of course, is not with his father, but his father still loves him dearly. As you and I reflect upon this parable, we note that neither of the sons celebrated their father's love. Initially, the younger son ran away from his father's love, pursuing worldly pleasures. He squandered the resources his father had so graciously and so generously given him. The result was poverty, degradation, and despair. Many things tempt us to forsake the father's love, like that younger son. Adolescent rebellion, midlife crises, the attraction of excitement and novelty. All of us are susceptible to these things. The immediate result is spiritual poverty, degradation, and despair. The ultimate result is spiritual death. Many things can tempt us to disregard the father's love, just as the older son did. Preoccupation with status, material possessions, wealth, work, family, jealousy of other people's blessings, self-righteousness and pride because we avoided wild living. The result is spiritual estrangement, bitterness, and of course, spiritual death. The father's love toward all his children is boundless. The younger son, the prodigal, knew of his father's love even though he had forsaken it. By the grace of God, he came to himself and he repented. The father received him back with open arms and with kisses. Because his son was totally impoverished, the father lavished him with the best robe, with beautiful sandals, with a great-looking ring, and of course, with the fatted calf. The father showered his love upon his older son as well, pleading with him to join the celebration. Firmly but lovingly, he set this son straight regarding his relationship to his father and to his brother. He reminded the older son what his major concern in life should be: the restoration of those who are lost and are spiritually dead. Through the perfect life, death, and resurrection of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, The Heavenly Father lavishes His love upon all of us. Whichever son you and I may happen to be, the Father calls each one of us back to Himself. He sends the Holy Spirit, working through His word of law and the gospel, calling us to repentance and faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Returning children celebrate the Father's love. Like the younger son, we celebrate the Father's love by receiving it in repentance and faith, trusting only in Jesus Christ for our eternal salvation. Like the younger son, we continue the celebration through ongoing worship and praise. Like the younger son, we celebrate our Father's love by serving Him joyfully with grateful hearts and rejoicing in the blessings that He gives to others. Like the younger son, we celebrate the Father's love by adopting His priority as our very own, seeking the salvation of those who are lost and spiritually dead. Dear friends in Christ, God's persistent, overwhelming love continues to reach out to us, embracing, kissing, imploring us to come back to Him. He has provided the way through His Son, Jesus Christ, who was the great substitute for us, whichever lost son you and I happen to be. He sends His Holy Spirit to us, working through His Word and blessed sacraments, showering us with His love, calling us back to Him, empowering us to share that great love with others, and enabling us to make His priority our very own. In the midst of this somber, penitential season of Lent, joy rings out. While we are certainly concerned with the sin within us and within our world, the sin for which Jesus Christ suffered and died, nevertheless, God's boundless love, His grace and His mercy in seeking and saving lost sinners gives us cause for great celebration this morning. And now may God's boundless love, grace, and mercy, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in our Savior Jesus Christ, as together we continue our Lenten journey toward Easter. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you His peace. Our closing hymn is number 917, Savior, again to Thy dear name we raise.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.